So please take your Bibles and turn back to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to focus on that last reading, the one found in chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. In your brown pew Bible, and I encourage you to look at it in your pew Bible, it's found on page 1588. You know, the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and John all end with the miracle of Jesus' resurrection, and then also with additional accounts of one or more post-resurrection appearances of Christ. Matthew is the one that tells of Jesus gathered with his disciples in Galilee, where he gives to them the Great Commission, where he says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age." That's found in Matthew's gospel. Luke is the one that describes the encounter of the two disciples with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, followed by Jesus then eating a meal with his disciples. That you will find in the Gospel of Luke. It's John, though, that recounts the most post-resurrection appearances of Christ, including Jesus' appearance to his frightened followers behind locked doors. John also records a second appearance to the same disciples about a week later, but this time Doubting Thomas is present with them. And then in John's gospel, there's yet another post-resurrection appearance of Christ, a third encounter that takes place by the Sea of Galilee that includes Jesus' gentle but firm confrontation and reinstatement of Peter's leadership among the disciples. But not Mark. There are no post-resurrection appearances of Jesus in Mark's gospel. As you listened to Chris read it, you noted, of course, that Mark's gospel seems to end rather abruptly, and it is not in the least bit triumphant. The good news of Jesus' resurrection is announced in Mark's gospel by a young man dressed in white, this angelic messenger, and he announces it to the two Marys and to Salome, whom he encounters in the tomb. Look with me once again in the text, verses 6 and 7. The young man says, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And then Mark ends his gospel this way: "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." Think about that for a moment. The Gospel of Mark ends on a note of human fear and human failure. Now, if you're like me and you feel like Mark leaves so much unresolved at the end of his gospel, well, we're not alone. We're not alone. In fact, alternate endings were written and attached to this gospel to correct what was perceived as an inadequacy. There are two prominent alternate endings to the gospel, and that's why I want you to be looking at your text. You'll see them printed in your Bible. There's one that is referenced at the bottom of the page, and additional words that were added. Some would say Mark chapter 16, verse 9 at the bottom. And this shorter ending, as you read it, seeks to end Mark's gospel on a much more optimistic, if somewhat jarring, note. And then there's this longer ending. As you look in your Bible, it's the second column of the page in italics. Now, in regards to this longer ending, in all likelihood, what happened was a later scribe working with material that was known and found in Matthew, Luke, and John's gospel, particularly their post-resurrection accounts of Jesus. And what this later scribe did was he sort of did a mashup, really, of these selected texts from these other three gospels, and then he attached it to the end of Mark's gospel. Now, almost all biblical scholars believe, on both literary and historic grounds, that Mark meant to end his gospel at verse 8. These alternate endings appear in much later manuscripts of the Gospel of Mark. So these two alternate endings, the shorter one and the longer, that survive to this day, were not written by Mark and are not to be regarded as Holy Scripture. That's why they are set apart as they are in most translations of the Bible. So Mark leaves us, ends his gospel at verse 8. And that leaves us with an important question. Why does this gospel leave so much up in the air? Now, we heard that for Mark, there's no doubt that the resurrection is real. He's in agreement with the other three gospel writers on the essential facts surrounding Jesus' death and resurrection. We hear it in the witness of the white-robed messenger, this angelic presence. He says, "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene." He refers to the real historic Jesus. That's the one they're looking for. He further says, this is the one that, yes, that was crucified and has died. But he's not here. Yes, you see, you've come to the right tomb, and the tomb is empty. He's not here. He is risen. So look and see the place where they laid him. But then Mark writes, but the women, trembling and bewildered, went out and fled from the tomb. And instead of telling Peter and the disciples, at least right away, they said nothing because they were afraid. So why is it that Mark ends his gospel in the way that he does? That was a question I struggled with this past week, wrestling with this text. Here's what the Lord led me to. I believe that Mark ended his gospel the way that he does is because to really know the resurrected Jesus, to really experience the presence and the power of the risen Lord, you have to go to Galilee. You have to go to Galilee. Now, Mark truthfully tells us about the initial reluctance of these three women to obey what the angelic messenger commanded them to do. And he tells us they failed at this initially because they were afraid. How often have we failed to follow Jesus in our obedience or in our discipleship? Because we too are afraid. We're afraid of what others will think about us if we talk to them about Jesus. We're afraid of being thought of as weird or some sort of religious fanatic if we refuse to do the things that our peers are doing, but that we know are wrong. We're afraid of what it will cost us to really sacrifice our time or our money or our reputations to help those who are hurting, to help those who are poor, or to help those who are suffering from injustice or prejudice. But to know the real power of Jesus' resurrection, You have to go to Galilee. And you got to understand what Mark means by this. Galilee, in Mark's gospel, is the place of discipleship. It's the place where Jesus did most of his ministry. Galilee is the place where Jesus revealed the heart of God and the reason why he came. Galilee is the place where God's power to heal through Christ was revealed, whether it be Peter's mother-in-law or the man with the paralyzed hand. Galilee is the place where Jesus first proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God and what it meant to repent and to believe the good news. Galilee, in Mark's gospel, is the place where Jesus invites notorious sinners to become followers of his, and where he goes and he hangs out with them. And Galilee is the place where Jesus will do anything, even despising respectable religious convention, in order to reach the social and religious outcasts with the love and the grace of God his Father. Galilee. Galilee is the place where Jesus invited others to follow him and learn about the grace of God and the truth of God. And Galilee is the place where Jesus sends his followers out to proclaim the gospel and to heal the brokenness of others. So here's why I believe Mark ended his gospel the way he did. It's not enough to simply announce that the resurrection is true, as important as that is. It's not enough to hear that announcement and to give assent to that truth, as important as that is. No, to know the power of the resurrection of Jesus, you have to go to Galilee. You have to go to that place where faith in the risen Lord gives birth to authentic discipleship. Do you want to know the power of this day that we celebrate better than any other? Then take Christ into your daily life, following Jesus wherever he leads you, especially when it's risky, especially when it's costly, especially when it demands of you more than you can supply of your own strength and your own courage. Mark ends his gospel this way, I believe, because he intends for each one of us to write the proper ending to the gospel by going to Galilee and following the risen Lord with all your heart. Let's pray together.